From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right, it is Monday, May 2nd, 2016. Can you believe that it's already a new month? My goodness, time flies, folks. Welcome to the show. You are listening to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to get to on today's show. I tell you what, you know, of course, the headline in the sports world dominating each and every sports avenue, of course, was the NFL draft. And there were five Michigan State football players that were selected this weekend out in the Chi, Chicago, Illinois, home of the NFL draft for the second straight year. Find out who was taken, in what round, what pick, which team, in just a second. Also, there were eight Spartans who may not have gotten their name called by Mr. Roger Goodell. At the same time, they did sign NFL free agent contracts. Find out who those players are. And we will also sound off on the Detroit Tigers, who are now on the midst of, get this, a five-game win streak, folks. Yes, we are singing a different tune from last week, aren't we? I tell you, that's the game of baseball for you, folks. And also on the back end of the show, we'll have weekend winners for you. And also talk about a pretty big name in boxing lore who is seemingly going to return to the ring. Yeah, find out who that is. Our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And also, folks, you can go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. You can weigh in on via Facebook, and I'll read your comments live here on the air, and also even tweet me at AlMartinWKR. But you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this Monday, May 2nd. All right, folks, there were five Michigan State Spartans who were selected in the 2016 National Football League draft. They were offensive tackle Jack Conklin, who was taken in the first round, number 8 pick overall. Tennessee Titans, that's who Conklin will be with next year. That's pretty high. Top 10 pick is actually the highest pick in the D'Antonio era. The previous highest was Trey Wayans, who was taken, of course, number 11 to the Vikings in 2015. Also, defensive lineman Shalique Calhoun, third round, number 75 overall pick to the Oakland Raiders. Quarterback Connor Cook, fourth round, number 100 overall to the Oakland Raiders as well. Wide receiver Aaron Burbridge, sixth round, number 213 overall to the San Francisco 49ers. And offensive lineman Donovan Clark, seventh round, number 224th overall to the San Diego Chargers. In addition, several Spartans signed free agent contracts following the NFL draft. They were center Jack Allen to the New Orleans Saints, wide receiver DeAnthony Arnett to the Seattle Seahawks, cornerback Arjun Calhoun to the Dallas Cowboys, linebacker Darian Harrison, former Current Sports production assistant and intern, to the Cincinnati Bengals. Congratulations to Darian Harrison. That's pretty cool to see him take his talents to the pro level. Also, defensive tackle Joel Heath to the Houston Texans. Fullback Trevon Pendleton to the Baltimore Ravens. Long snapper Tabar Pepper to the Baltimore Ravens. And Lawrence Thomas to the New York Jets. We'll have more on the Spartans dotting the NFL draft in just a second. Also, the Detroit Lions, they had 10 draft picks under first-year general manager Bob Quinn. In all, the Lions drafted 3 offensive linemen, 2 defensive linemen, a quarterback, a running back, a hard-hitting safety, a hard-hitting linebacker, and a long snapper. Among those drafted included 2 Michigan Wolverines in center Graham Glasgow and quarterback Jake Rudock. More on the Lions in just a sec as well. And an anonymous hacker, get this, used the night of the NFL draft to try and take down Laramie Tunzel and the Ole Miss football program. Moments before the draft began, a video of Tunzel smoking out of a bong fashioned out of a gas mask was posted to his Twitter account. Now, when it had done its damage, it moved Tunzel out of the top 10 entirely into the Miami Dolphins to the number 13th pick. The hacker started on Tunzel's Instagram account, I should say. Now, there, on its Instagram account, they posted screenshots of alleged text messages between Tunzel and John Miller, assistant athletic director for football operations, in which Tunzel asked for money to pay rent and also for his mother's $305 electric and water bill. In reference to the former, Miller makes a reference to, quote, Barney, that being Barner Farrar, who is Ole Miss's assistant athletic director for high school and junior colleges. You better believe we'll have more on that story in just a second as well. Now, the Michigan State baseball team topped number 16 Michigan 7-4 on Sunday out in Ann Arbor to take two of the three games from the Wolverines in the weekend series. Jordan Zimmerman went 2-for-4, and Dan Durkin went 3-for-4. Both had multiple hits, while five different Spartans drove in runs. Impressive. With the win, Michigan State improved to 30-11 overall and 10-5 in the Big Ten Conference. Michigan State sits in third place of the Big Ten Conference at 10-5, 30-11 overall, right behind Minnesota and Indiana. Now, with no midweek games due to finals, the Spartans will get back into action this weekend when they host Nebraska on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at McLane Stadium. All right, the Michigan State softball team got three home runs among their four hits and got a complete game from Christina Zelowski as the Spartans won the series over visiting Rutgers 6-4 on Sunday. The Spartans were playing their final game at Sekia Stadium this season and twice rallied from deficits to take home the dub. Now, MSU is idle during finals week as well and opens a three-game series at Ohio State on Friday. All right, the Tigers rallied late, keyed by a three-run homer from Nick Castellanos in the sixth inning and a go-ahead RBI double from Jarrett Saltalamacchia in the eighth to finish off a sweep of the Twins with a 6-5 win on Sunday at Target Field. Now, Saltalamacchia's game-winning double came off reliever Ryan Presley with two outs, scoring Justin Upton from first. Twin shortstop Eduardo Escobar couldn't get the ball out of his glove on the relay from left fielder Eddie Rosario. Now, Mike Pelfrey, the Tigers right-hander, had a tough outing, making his first start against his former team struggle as he lasted four-plus innings, surrendering five runs on eight hits and three walks. The Tigers ride a five-game win streak into a three-game road series against the Cleveland Indians starting tomorrow night. Michigan native Brad Keselowski won a demolition derby at Talladega Super Speedway, where multiple wrecks caused two cars to go airborne and led to millions of dollars in damage to race teams. Now, NASCAR's box score showed 35 of the 40 cars were involved in some sort of accident. And in last but certainly not least news, Floyd Mayweather back in the boxing ring? Say it ain't so. That's right, Mayweather told Showtime on Saturday that he's happy to be retired. He has, quote, been talking with CBS and Showtime about a potential return and, quote, you never know, end quote. He said he was discussing guarantees that would top $100 million if he returned. Now, Mayweather Productions filed for trademarks, to, quote, TMT50 and, quote, TBE50 on April 21st. ESPN.com learned that news. Now, records recently posted on the U.S. Patent and Trademark website confirm the filings. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Also go to facebook.com/currentsports or again, even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show.
It is an honor to be here at my last, and perhaps the last, White House Correspondents' Day. Next year at this time, someone else will be standing here in this very spot, and it's anyone's guess who she will be. But it's not just Congress. Even some foreign leaders, they've been looking ahead, anticipating my departure. Last week, Prince George showed up to our meeting in his bathrobe. That was a slap in the face. I want to close my final White House Correspondents' Dinner by just saying thank you. I'm very proud of what you've done. It has been an honor and a privilege to work side by side with you to strengthen our democracy. And with that, I just have two more words to say. Obama out.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Again, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is, again, Monday, May 2nd, 2016. Don't forget to pay the rent. I'll be doing that after I get off the air today. I tell you, that's the thing about the beginning of the month. You gotta make sure you check off your responsibilities, right? Bills, bills, bills. Gotta love it, right? What a weekend it was, though, folks. An entertaining one in the sports world. Of course, everyone talking about the NFL draft. And I wanted to start today's show, as I customarily do, by bringing up the best thing I saw all weekend. Now, other than the NFL draft, which was entertaining, I must say. Second year it's been held out in Chicago. We'll get to the draft in just a second. But that was, of course, President Barack Obama at his final White House Correspondents' Dinner. And I tell you what, I always love watching the White House Correspondents' Dinner when it comes to Barack Obama, because he's so entertaining. Obama is so entertaining. Going to miss that man. There's no president in the history of those that have died in the White House more entertaining than Barack Obama. So much swag, I tell you. It's pretty cool watching him up there just take subtle jabs at certain individuals. And his clever puns, it's absolutely fantastic. He took a few shots at Donald Trump, which were pretty hilarious. And also even took shots at the Democratic race, telling Bernie Sanders, who was in attendance, quote, "You look like $1 million. Or to put it in terms you'll understand, you look like 37,000 donations of $27 each." I love that line. That's absolutely fantastic. So I'm a big social media guy, and I was on Snapchat over the weekend, and I follow probably the most popular Snapchatter out there in social media land, in DJ Khaled, who's a rapper and producer, and it's really remarkable. DJ Khaled has really like blown up, just not based off his music, but off of just Snapchat. I mean, because he's got these clever things he does on there where he just like puts keys. He's so positive. That's what I love about DJ Khaled. He's so positive on there. And he puts like keys to success, and he's watering flowers, which seems boring, right? Like, who wants to see someone water flowers? But no one waters flowers like DJ Khaled. If you have Snapchat and you follow him, you know what I'm talking about, all right? But DJ Khaled was invited to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and he was Snapchatting the entire time, so that's how I found out that it was taking place. And then I saw, of course, the countless snippets of Barack Obama. And I love the way he ended it, right? You know, Obama out. And he didn't drop the mic that he was using for his speech. He had a mic hidden under the podium that he used to actually drop it. Like, yeah, my job is done here. Like, boom goes the dynamite, right? And he took a line from Kobe. You know, Kobe Bryant in his final game, he said Mamba out after he addressed the crowd with his mic. Then he laid the mic on the floor, didn't drop it. But he said Mamba out, and then you heard Barack say Obama out. So very, very cool stuff. So other than that, I got a chance to check out Keanu also over the weekend, which I'm a big comedy fan. And, I love Key and Peele, the show that aired on Comedy Central. They have a new movie out that is absolutely hilarious. I would encourage, if you like laughing, I would encourage anyone out there to go check it out. It's hilarious. And also probably, you know, the other big moment, the best thing I saw all weekend, other than, of course, Keanu and Barack Obama's White House Correspondents' Dinner, was also Game of Thrones last night. And man, oh, man. I don't want to give away. I'm not a spoiler guy. I'm not. For those that have it or are currently watching the show, they didn't get a chance to check out last night's episode, but everyone is talking about it. It was brilliant, to put it lightly. And yeah, Game of Thrones, best show on television. Best show on television. I know Isaac, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. I know, Isaac, you're a big Game of Thrones guy. Did you get a chance to check it out, Game of Thrones, last night?
23 pages. Wait, I'm sorry. I'm still in
school
mode.
You're still in finals mode, right?
It's the end of the year, and this weekend I had to write 23 pages total of research paper. So if you want to just switch the script around, talk a little bit of Estonia-Russia relationships, or
no.
How about King Lear? And
no.
The role of relative pain in that.
Oh,
any
my
interest?
Goodness. That's what I don't miss about college. I mean, I love college. It's the best years of your life. Don't get me wrong. But man, oh, man, I do not miss studying. I do not miss doing papers. I miss the fun parts of it, okay? So good luck on finals, though, man. It is finals week here at Michigan State. But I know you're a Game of Thrones guy. Did you check out Game of Thrones last night?
Didn't get the chance,
oh,
actually. It's killing me.
Goodness.
But I'm going to have to wait till summer, yeah.
I'm not going to release anything, then. It was a brilliant episode. I'm just saying, it was fantastic. So, all right, well, let's talk about the NFL draft, because everyone is buzzing about it, and rightfully so. It's NFL draft. I mean, you know, and this is the thing I want to put out there as well. When you talk about the NFL draft, and it always amuses me how after the weekend is finished, and all the picks, all 256 picks are in the books, it always amazes me how, you know, national pundits on ESPN and Yahoo Sports and SI, you know, their draft experts always put out grades for each NFL team and how they performed in the NFL draft. And it always amuses me because, folks, we really don't know how good each team's draft class is going to be until about 2 to 3 years into it, okay? We don't know. We have no idea how good these players are going to be. They may have been stellar in college, all right? But the NFL is a different ball game. So it's really hard to put a grade on any one of these teams. But I will say, you know, you could draw a few conclusions by looking at what a few teams did. We'll get to those teams in just a second. But, you know, again, locally, as I said in our Quicken headliners, we had 5 former Michigan State football players taken in this year's NFL draft. Again, to riddle them, you know, again, offensive lineman Jack Conklin, number 8 overall to the Tennessee Titans. Again, the highest draft pick in the Mark D'Antonio era. 2015, Trey Wayans, taken number 11 to the Minnesota Vikings, was the previous high. And how remarkable is that? I mean, Jack Conklin, talk about starting from the bottom. Now you're here. A walk-on. Taken number 8 in the NFL draft? That's unbelievable. All right, so number 2, the second Spartan taken, was defensive end Shalique Calhoun. He was the 75th pick in the 3rd round to the Oakland Raiders. And after that pick, the 3rd Spartan it was taken was quarterback Connor Cook, number 100 in the 4th round to also the Oakland Raiders. So Calhoun and Cook will be teammates this upcoming year, barring any cuts that will be made. The 4th pick was wide receiver Aaron Burbridge, number 213 in the 6th round to the San Francisco 49ers. And last but not least, offensive guard Donovan Clark, number 224 in the 7th round to the San Diego Chargers. Pretty cool stat I want to throw out there for you guys. MSU is just one of five schools to have at least one player chosen every year since the inception of the draft, starting back in 1967. Who are the other 4 schools, you ask? Well, I'll be glad to tell you. Florida, U of M, Nebraska, and USC. Very impressive stuff. So shout out to Michigan State for churning out the talent that it has, dating back to the late 60s. Always had a player, at least one player, to be drafted. Again, I mentioned the free agents. 8 Spartans signed to free agent contracts. And, you know, so the big dialogue here, let's just address the elephant in the room, okay? Because this was the center conversation when last week's show, leading up to the draft, that really dominated our airwaves, excuse me. And that concerns quarterback Connor Cook. Is he a first-round pick? Is he not? Now, I had gone on the air multiple times defending Connor Cook's honor, saying that Connor Cook is certainly, without a doubt in my mind, a first-round NFL draft pick. But again, he drops to the fourth round, 100th overall, to the Oakland Raiders. And when you look at this situation, of course, he'll most likely be playing backup because the Oakland Raiders already have an established quarterback in Mr. Derek Carr. So he'll be backing up Derek Carr out there. And, you know, it's so crazy because, you know, right before the draft took place, you know, I was doing a lot of reading, trying to get a feel for where respective NFL GMs and personnel felt Connor Cook would go. And you know what? In doing that research, I came across an interesting article by Tom Pelissero of USA Today Sports. And the article is entitled, quote, Connor Cook leaves some teams uneasy in NFL draft. So, you know, he goes on to quote anonymous NFL scouts and GMs and personnel. Well, I shouldn't say GMs, just upper personnel when it comes to respective NFL teams. They decided to make these comments under the condition of anonymity for, of course, quote unquote, competitive reasons. All right. And I just want to read a few of the quotes that Tom cites in this article from those NFL scouts and upper personnel. Here's one coming from an NFL quarterbacks coach, one of many people in the league who have spoken to Cook and gave their impressions to USA Today Sports. Quote, there's something off. There's something about him that you just don't trust him. End quote. That's a pretty harsh comment. Going on here. This comes from a general manager for a different team in the NFL. Check out this one. Quote, I don't mind the kid at all. I'll take a kid who wins games over a nice guy who loses games, but there's something missing with him. End quote. Again, that's coming from a GM in the NFL who decided to speak about Cook under the condition of anonymity. Now, here's another one. This one comes from an offensive coordinator for a third team. Quote, there's just something put offish about him. It appears to me, I could be dead wrong, but he'd be a guy that, when he got in the locker room, they'd try to eat him up and spit him out. End quote. Oh, boy. And this is what we addressed last week. You know, these anonymous sources, anonymous NFL scouts, anonymous NFL GMs coming out and addressing the lack of Connor Cook's leadership abilities. And I really do believe, just like many of you out there, that a lot of this stems from the fact that Connor Cook was not a captain here at Michigan State. And I just found it, you know, just really, my jaw was on the floor reading some of the comments, because this is what I have a problem with. If you're going to make comments like this, and those were very damning comments that I'm sure NFL executives out there, when evaluating which quarterback they wanted for their team, they looked at those comments and said, I don't know. That doesn't look good. That doesn't look good. I'd rather go with someone else. You better believe that that had a lot to do with the reason why Connor Cook was a fourth round pick to the Oakland Raiders. I also want to bring up this. Mark D'Antonio, he addressed the issue, quote unquote, issue of Connor Cook being a late round pick yesterday during a teleconference to the media. And this was the third question that was asked to Mark D'Antonio. Here's the question. I'm just curious your reaction or how you felt that Connor Cook was kind of falling down the board there and didn't go into the fourth round. How were you feeling, Coach D? Mark D'Antonio says this, quote, yeah, I was disappointed. I was probably living through the entire thing as well. watched the entire draft. I was disappointed. I think that Connor is an excellent football player. He's done a tremendous job for us here and for his football team. And a lot of that success that we've had can be credited to his play and his leadership on our football team. I think that speaks volumes. Then the follow-up question to that, was that criticism he was hearing? Was that hard on him? Did you see that wear on him when he was being questioned like he was? Quote, this is from Mark D'Antonio again, quote, I think it did wear on him as time went on, but he tried to continue to stay above it. You know, I think that's a question probably better suited for Connor. But what I always tell people is that when you hit adversity, it provides an opportunity for growth. You're going to be tested. There's no question you're going to be tested as a quarterback at Michigan State on the field and off the field, just like the head coach. And I've always told our quarterbacks, you are going to get a tremendous amount of praise and a tremendous amount of criticism because of the position that you play. It's going to be highly scrutinized. You know, we look forward to it as an opportunity to grow and become better for it, but I think that it is inaccurate, and it was disappointing what he had to go through, end quote. That's coming from Coach D'Antonio, the head coach of the Michigan State football team. So I want to invite Isaac Constance to this conversation right now because this, for me, Isaac, and again, I'll let this be known countless times, It amazes me, and I really think something needs to be done. I don't know what, but I really think something needs to be done when you have ghost NFL scouts and executives that come out and make comments concerning a player that directly affect that player's draft stock. Because, again, you are talking about moolah here at the end of the day. You are talking about numbers, dollar signs. If you're going to make a comment like that, I have no problem with you doing that if you attach your name to it. Man up and say, yeah, I this is what I think of Connor Cook, and these are my reasons why. But when you come out under the condition of anonymity and make comments like that, it's very cowardice, if you ask me. And I really believe that this hurt Connor Cook in this year's draft. I really do.
Oh, this is what dropped him. There's no question. The questions about the leadership are the only thing that was really impugning Connor Cook's draft stock. But at the same time, I do think that these comments were not made as an attempt for a team to get Connor Cook in a lower round. Because
that's the conspiracy theory.
That's the conspiracy theory. And I think we can now safely throw that out. Because the team that drafted Connor Cook did so much later than anyone would have projected. I was in the minority in East Lansing and the Lansing area and all of Michigan by saying I didn't think Connor Cook was a first-round draft pick. I thought he was mid-second. I thought he could have gone third. Never in my wildest imagination did I picture he dropped to fourth to a team which has its quarterback position all but sealed up. Derek Carr and the Oakland Raiders are making strides offensively.
Right.
They've got their quarterback of the future. Derek Carr last year passed for nearly 4,000 yards.
He's not starting over
33
Carr.
Touchdowns.
Right.
And the guy is a second-year player. So for this draft pick, it bamboozles me. The fact that so many teams passed over Connor Cook simply because of these concerns about character. I mean, Al, I said that Connor Cook, and I was one of the few, too, who said that, yes, the captain position, that's something that he doesn't have, which might be a worry. Yes, that handshake might be a worry. At the same time, the guy is a winner. He's a proven NFL quarterback. It's okay to think that there are people better than Connor Cook at the quarterback position, because that's exactly what I think.
Mm-hmm.
But for you to put him below somebody like Christian Hackenberg, that is the name that jumped out as me as a, are you really serious here? Christian Hackenberg, a guy without his off-the-field persona being untainted, untouched, and a guy who disappointed in college, far from Connor Cook, who exceeded all expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has gone too far.
And this is going to give Connor a clear chip on his shoulder when he goes to the league. I like the tweet that Kirk Cousins had to Connor Cook, and he said that, hey, welcome to the fourth round club, and he said the cream always rises to the top. I really like that. And Connor, you know, again, it's going to take a minute for Connor to get that opportunity to start. Who knows? I mean, this is the NFL we're talking about here. I mean, and it's so crazy because I really thought that when you look at the third round, that 31st pick by the Cleveland Browns, in which the Browns took Cody Kessler from USC, I thought that was going to be Cook. I really did. Now, and the Browns, speaking of the Browns, they had 14 picks in this year's NFL draft. That is tied for the most by any franchise in one respective year. 14 picks, they spent 5 of them on wide receivers. I was kind of puzzled about that. But yeah, they took Cody Kessler. And this is the immediate thought that I had when evaluating that pick. Because, of course, when you look at Robert Griffin III, he's a guy who was in Washington. And RG3 lost his job to Kirk Cousins, right? So RG3 is now balling out for the Cleveland Browns. I think he's going to win out that starting job. But the immediate thought that came to my mind, round 3, 31st pick, I'm like, okay, the Browns are going to choose a quarterback here. I think they're going to go with Connor Cook. And wouldn't that be something? Let's say if Connor Cook gets drafted, another Michigan State quarterback competing for a starting job in the NFL against Robert Griffin III. Robert Griffin III was going to become like the biggest anti-Spartan fan of all time, right?
RG3 wants a restraining order against Michigan State quarterback.
Exactly. Please, no more green and white for RG3. So, yeah, he dodges that bullet, and Cody Kessler gets drafted, and I'm like, wow, they really passed up on Connor Cook. So, Cody Kessler, I think he's going to be the second guy, clearly, to RG3. And Cook falls in the lap of the Oakland Raiders. And again, I don't know if Connor's going to get an opportunity this year, you know, barring an injury to Derek Carr. We probably won't see Connor at all this season, maybe in a few preseason games, but that's about it. But this is going to motivate Connor Cook. So I want to know out there, what did you think about Connor Cook dropping to the fourth round of the NFL draft? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. If I had to buy into this whole who would you give a high grade, Al, I think that overall the team that I thought had the best draft was the Jacksonville Jaguars. I really thought they did. I see exactly what the Jags are doing this upcoming season. Of course, that offense can score. Blake Bortles and them boys, they're good. But the big Achilles heel for the Jacksonville Jaguars this past season was defense. They had no defensive depth. And the Jags went defense, defense, and more defense. That is going to be a team to be reckoned with, folks. Watch out for the Jags next year. They are going to compete in the AFC against division rival, I guess you can say division rival, in the Indianapolis Colts, a division in which the Colts have dominated in recent years. But watch out for the Jags. They are going to be something this upcoming season, folks. The Jets, you know, to go on what you said about Christian Hackenberg, Isaac, I did not understand at all why they decided to draft a quarterback in Christian Hackenberg from Penn State. Because now you have 4 quarterbacks on that roster. You got Geno Smith, you got Bryce Petty, you've got now Christian Hackenberg, and who I think is going to re-sign with the team, Ryan Fitzpatrick. So you've got 4 quarterbacks on that roster. There's no way they can keep all of those guys. There's just really no way. I don't understand that. Now, again, there's a deal in place. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's going into contract negotiations with the Jets, and he's asking for somewhere of, what, $7 to $8 million with this squad. So I think Fitzpatrick is going to be that guy. But again, short shelf life. So someone's going to take over that position for Fitzpatrick as time moves on. So I don't know. 4 quarterbacks, puzzling from the Jets. Then the Cleveland Browns. 14 picks for the Browns. And again, they drafted 5 wide receivers. A bit puzzling when you look at that. But overall, again, 14 picks. Again, all right, that's 5 wide receivers. You still got a ton of picks that I think they did a very nice job with, including you got Cody Kessler as well. I don't think is going to win that starting job over RG3. But the Browns, 14 picks. This is a franchise that has been riddled with mediocrity for so long, and hopefully the Browns can get back on track here. And then there was probably the weirdest moment in NFL draft history. That's really the only way I can put it. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but it occurred in the first round of the NFL draft. really right before the draft started. And it concerns Laramie Tunzel of Ole Miss. Now, this is a guy who is expected to be a top five pick in round one of the NFL draft. But then, folks, something happened, folks. Right before the draft took place, on Tunzel's Twitter account, a video surfaced of Tunzel with a gas mask on, attached to a bong, and he was smoking weed on camera. It was about, a 15-second video, I believe, on his Twitter account. I kid you not. And you start to see the immediate effects of it. It was so odd because the camera was focused on him. You heard the ESPN personalities who were anchoring the draft start to talk about it. And slowly and surely, that top five draft pick, which was expected for Tunzel, began to go to 6, 7, 8, all the way, actually, to number 13, to the Miami Dolphins, who selected the former Ole Miss offensive tackle. And also, his Twitter not only got hacked, but his Instagram got hacked that showed screenshots of a conversation between Tunzel and a member of the Ole Miss coaching staff, which Tunzel was asking for a couple of dollars here and there to pay his rent and for his mother to pay her a bill. I think it was an electric bill, as I stated in our headliners. And I'm sitting there saying, whoa, I've never seen anything like that. Never seen anything like that. Yeah, it was a $305 electric and water bill for his mom. And whoa. So you see him get picked at 13th, right? He goes up there. He's with Roger Goodell. He's got the Miami Dolphins jersey. And he goes into a press conference. And I could not believe that they allow Tunzel to sit in front of press moments after a video of him smoking weed out of a bong hit his Twitter account. And screenshots of him asking for money from a member of the Ole Miss coaching staff surfaced on his Instagram account. And, yeah, he took questions. And here's a quick snippet from what Tunzel had to say.
Man, somebody hacked my account, man. You know, I made that mistake, you know, several years ago. And somehow somebody got in my photos and hacked my Twitter account. And apparently somebody just hacked my Instagram account. So, man, it's getting crazy.
Are you kidding me? Now, it appears the Miami Dolphins have narrowed down who leaked the video of Tunzel using a gas mask bong moments before the start of the NFL draft on Thursday. And according to the Palm Beach Post, the Dolphins believe that Tunzel's former financial advisor is the culprit. And this thought also comes to mind, Isaac. First off, if you're in college and you're not getting paid a lot, why in the world do you have a financial advisor?
That's a good question. I don't get that, dude.
So I want to say this. This is just a perfect example of being young and dumb and not knowing what social media should be used for. You ball out for the Ole Miss college football team, one of the premier teams in college football. And you take a video of you getting high. And first off, you don't delete it. If you do take a video, you don't delete it. It just stays on your phone. I don't get that. But second off, the situation where he's sending text messages to a member of the coaching staff about, you know, not being able to pay his rent and his mother struggling to pay an electric bill, $305 electric bill, when this is a premier player for the Ole Miss football team who brings in tons of dollars to the program, I think it puts in perspective what exactly is wrong with the NCAA as well. And it just blows my mind. So it's a catch-22. Tunzel should not have filmed himself getting high in the first place. And on the other hand, man, I mean, this is a kid who's a premier player for a football program who brings in tons and tons of money, but he can't even pay his own rent. That's a problem in itself. So it's a catch 22 for me. It's a catch 22 for me. And I saw on Forbes that it was an estimated $7 million hit to Tunzel's wallet with him dropping from the top five of the NFL draft all the way to 13th. He lost out on $7 million. Folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, again, we'll continue to take your phone calls, and we will also talk about the Detroit Tigers, who are in the midst of a five-game win streak. How about that? And also a boxer, a big-time boxer, is thinking about returning to the boxing ring. Find out who. And so much more right here on WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Also, got to give a big shout out to the Detroit Lions. I thought they did a pretty good job. Solid job in this year's NFL draft as rookie Lions general manager Bob Quinn. He addressed needs. I mean, that's what it comes down to in NFL draft. It's impossible to grade in the moment. As soon as the dust settles on the NFL draft, just how good these guys are going to be, therefore grading the respective draft classes of every team who drafted in the NFL draft, because you don't know. You know, some of them pan out. Some of them just don't live up to the hype and get cut. Simple as that. I think realistically you need at least 2 to 3 years to really judge a draft class. So, but the Lions, they address needs. If anything, that's what you can grade on. Did you address the needs of your team in the draft? And Bob Quinn certainly did that. The offensive line has been horrible, absolutely horrid these past few years. Matthew Stafford, really no time to throw the football. The defensive line is one that has lacked depth. And when you look at what Bob Quinn did, I mean, he drafted OSU offensive tackle Taylor Decker with the 16th overall pick. I love that pick. Decker is a stud. He definitely is a stud. And get this, the Lions drafted a lineman in the 2nd, 3rd, 5th, and 6th round. That's 4 linemen in the first 5 rounds, and of course, 5 overall. To put that in perspective, Detroit hadn't drafted a lineman in the same draft since 1989. And get this, in that year, folks, they took only one in the first 4 rounds. Yeah. Addressing needs, I think Bob Quinn definitely did that. I really like the personnel they have coming in. I really do. And other than Taylor Decker, I mean, defensive tackle, A'shaun Robinson from Alabama, 6'4", 307 pounds. I think he's going to be the best pick out of who the Lions took over the weekend. So I really like what the Detroit Lions did. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Ray from Indiana on the line. Ray, how you doing?
Skipper, you're building them up too much already.
I'm just saying, I like what Bob Quinn did, Ray. Well, did you have any problems?
Your Super Bowl tickets, they ain't been there in 51 years of the Super Bowl.
I'm not saying that, Ray. That's not my argument. I'm just saying that the Lions addressed their needs in this past draft. I'm not saying
they did. I agree with you on the first 2 picks. I liked them a lot, but then the 2 Michigan kids.
Oh, here we go. I knew it was coming.
20 years ago, when Michigan was good, they would never take a Michigan kid. Now they're taking them when they're pathetic the last 10 years. You're going to try to tell me that quarterback, they should have lost 5 games this last year. He got lucky against Minnesota and Indiana, give him those games.
Right.
Then you're going to put that quarterback in the 6th round. Who's the other guy they took offensive tackle or a defensive tackle?
Well, they took, let me see, let me write them down for you. They took Miles Killebrew from Southern Utah. He's a safety. They took guard Joel Dowell from Washington State. They also took linebacker Antoine Williams from Georgia Southern. He was a fifth-round pick, of course, Michigan quarterback Jake Rudock. He was taken in the sixth round.
Right.
And defensive lineman Anthony Zettel from Penn State in the sixth round. And also you had Jimmy Landis from Baylor in the sixth round. And you had running back Dwayne Johnson from Washington taken.
Oh, they only took one Michigan kid?
No, they took Graham Gaskow and also Jake Rudock. So they took two Michigan kids.
Who was the other one, the one before Reddick?
Graham Glasgow. He was the third-round pick from Michigan. If you remember, he was a former walk-on. He had his ups and downs. If you remember, if that name rings a bell for our listeners out there, Graham Glasgow, he was reprimanded by the program for driving a vehicle while impaired during his Michigan football program. And if you remember, this is a cool story, though, Ray. He went through that situation. So what did the Michigan football program do? They actually had Glasgow live with his grandmother, his 80-year-old grandmother, to keep the kid in check. I like that story a lot.
Well,
so,
that's good.
Yeah.
What position does he play?
He's a center.
Well, you never know. You're right. You look at all these guys. You know, it takes 4 to 5 years to find out just how good they're going to be.
Exactly. You can't tell off the bat.
It's the same with recruiting. People build. I used to build it up myself when I was a big Michigan fan. You know, all these top 5-star guys, you don't know if they're going to be 5-star guys when they go from high school to college.
Right. Agree, Ray. And again, it takes about 2 to 3 years to realistically make that evaluation. Because, again, you're a victim of circumstance when it comes to any pro sport draft. If there's an opportunity for you to start, if there's an opportunity for you to shine, then, hey, take advantage of it. But we've seen just rosters that are stacked. You don't have that opportunity. These players still have to get through training camp. Okay, preseason training camp, right? So it's not like you'll see a lot of these names on the solidified roster for the Lions come the start of the regular season.
Well, it's just like that Notre Dame guy that went in the second round and the guy from UCLA that went in the second round. They were coming off injuries. And then you got this German guy that come out of nowhere. He's a sixth round. He might end up being better than any of those guys. You never know.
Yeah, you never know, Ray. You never know.
You never know.
I'm not crowning the Detroit Lions here. I'm just saying when it comes to their picks, I thought it was a good mixture of addressing where they were weak upon last season.
Yeah, you're right. That offensive tackle in the first round, that should be pretty. And that Alabama kid, I like that pick.
Love him. I mean, can you go wrong? Can you ever go wrong with drafting a kid from Alabama? I mean, that program is so good. They churn out athletes. So I love A'shaun Robinson. Absolutely love him.
Well, you know, Ohio State had like 13 or 14 picks in the first three or four rounds.
Yeah, they did. I believe 12. They were absolutely just mind-blowing.
And you know that I like Mike Mayock, the guy from NFL Network. You know, Edsel's a big the announcer's a big Michigan fan. He said 13-1. He said if it was a little league game, they'd call it.
Right. I like that. Ray,
there's
great call.
A little league program down there. Right. When are you gonna quit bullying them around down there?
I tell you. The one, the only Ray. Ray, thank you for the call, my man.
All right, bye.
Oh boy, but yeah. So I like what the Lions did. What'd you think of their draft class, Isaac?
I loved it. I thought A'shaun Robinson was a first round player. I thought he had a chance to go in the top 20 even. So for the Lions to steal him in the middle of the second round, boy, that's daylight robbery. But then Taylor Decker, too, like you mentioned, addresses a need, and Bob Quinn instantly comes in and builds a winner. Because,
right, like
we were saying, we're not having the coordination of this team just yet. We're not crowning them champions of the NFL. But what we are doing is saying they're finally focusing on the important foundations of this team instead of the flashy skilled players, which they've had all along. They've had that for the 7-9 season, the 0-7 starter, whatever it was last year. Mm-hmm. What they haven't had is a solid offensive line, a reliable defense year after year. And that's what they're building towards.
That's exactly what they did, Isaac. I totally agree. And, you know, I was surprised with this, though. I mean, with the fact that Calvin Megatron Johnson won't be with this squad next year, I thought that they would at least go after one wide receiver. And it kind of, you know, How ironic is that? Because we've chastised the Lions over the recent years for drafting a
receiver. Yep.
Exactly, with a high pick. But again, with Calvin Johnson not there anymore, I mean, what, Golden Tate now becomes the guy? I don't know. I thought they could at least use just one. Just throw in one WR out there. So, I don't know. We'll see, though.
We still have free agency.
Exactly. Still free agency is out there as well. So, all right, folks. Less than 10 minutes left. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I want to throw this out there really briefly. And, again, we'll definitely continue this conversation tomorrow. But, I got a chance to sit back and watch a bit of the NBA playoffs over the weekend as well. And I must say, Isaac, this so far has been just a snoozer of an NBA playoffs. I mean, we still got a lot more. Yeah, exactly. I mean, just blowouts left and right. We've seen injuries to a few stars, and I'm sitting there saying, oh, my gosh, this is horrid. Oh, have we even had a buzzer beater yet? I mean, last year it was crazy. I mean, I felt like I was watching a buzzer beater every single time I turned on my television. But, yeah, it's been a bit of a snoozer. But you look at the Golden State Warriors, it's pretty remarkable because, again, they have been without Steph Curry for a while now. And none of these games have been close, still with Steph Curry sitting out. Now, again, you got to put in perspective that they are playing, you know, the Houston Rockets and the Portland Trailblazers here. Not great, but still, these are playoff teams. And the Golden State Warriors are making it look easy peasy. They don't even need Steph Curry, okay? Klay Thompson, how big has he been? Actually, Klay Thompson, he has hit 21 three-pointers in the last three playoff games for the Warriors. That is a postseason record, folks. Draymond Green, routine double-double for that man yesterday against Portland. Just completely blown out teams, okay? And I got to ask this question because it's something that I thought about, and I've heard, you know, a few media personnel out there nationally bring it up as well, and I certainly thought about it. But, you know, Steph Curry, he's a great player, arguably the best in the league right now. But when you evaluate most valuable player, again, it depends on how you define it, okay? Because people look at the MVP and say, oh, yeah, historically it goes to the best player on the league's best team. But, again, that award is called Most Valuable Player, not the best player. Most Valuable Player, value to a team. And I always equate it to this, and if you heard this multiple times, we're talking about this award as well. If you were to take that player away from that team will fold. Well, folks, the Golden State Warriors don't fold without Steph Curry. I mean, and again, it's not a knock on Curry. If anything, it speaks volumes to the depth that the Golden State Warriors have. But when you talk about most valuable player in the NBA, I got to go with LeBron James, Isaac. I must say, if you take LeBron James off that Cleveland Cavaliers roster, oh my goodness, it would be ugly. But again, the Warriors are showing, okay, we may not have Curry, but you got Draymond Green, who's the best two-way player in the league. You got Klay Thompson, who's absolutely fantastic, who's a great defender as well. I mean, he can give you 30-plus, and then guard Damian Lillard. You know what I mean? That's what Steve Kerr brought up over the weekend as well. You got Andre Iguodala. You got Sean Livingston. The team is fantastic. So I may sound crazy. A few of our listeners out there are listening to this and saying, Al, you sound nuts, okay? But I must say, I would sit there, if you gave me the ballot today and said, hey, who's your MVP? I would think twice about Curry. I must say that, Isaac. I'm just saying.
Well, there is something important. They wouldn't give you the ballot today because voting only accounts for the regular season, and then they're submitted after the first round. But at the same time, I know exactly what you're saying. MVP, it's got a denotation and a connotation. So most valuable player. Well, let's bring it back to football a few seasons ago. Was Peyton Manning not the most valuable player the season he was injured? You know what I'm saying? You've got all of these different factors to take into account. Last season, James Harden, by far the most valuable player to his team. You look at what the Rockets will have done without him compared to what the Warriors will have done without Curry. the difference, the comparison can't be made. For LeBron James, I think you make up a great point. This is a team that before they had LeBron, and of course Kevin Love was part of that arrival as well, but before they had LeBron James, Kyrie Irving couldn't lead that team to a 38-win season and a playoff berth in the East himself.
Not at all.
LeBron has made the difference. So by the definition of most valuable player, I'd vote for somebody else. I might vote for Kawhi Leonard.
You can make that argument as well.
I think just knowing how voting for this award has gone in the past, I'd still go Curry.
It's Steph Curry's.
Exactly.
Let's be real here. But again, just entertaining that thought. Again, if I'm a voter.
You are right.
If I'm a voter and I'm really looking at what the award is supposed to be about, then hey, you can make an argument for other people other than Steph Curry. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So again, Steph Curry's not going to lose. Let's be real here. I mean, anytime you have the season that he had last year and he's up in the running for most improved player, really? That's remarkable. He had one of the greatest regular seasons we've ever seen in NBA history. So Steph Curry's going to win it. But at the same time, man, he ain't the most valued.
Well,
trust
are you
me.
With me now, though? Because I had my weird take Wednesday 4 weeks ago where I said Steph Curry should not be unanimous. And that was an unpopular pick.
Right.
Are you with me?
Now I must say, yeah, to be honest with you. Yeah, I must say that without a doubt, dude. All right, 3 minutes left. Weekend winners. Who had the best weekend in the sports world? Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, it's Weekend Winners, where we take a look at the weekend that was in the sporting world and bring to you our top guys and teams, for that matter. I got to start with the Michigan State baseball team. Right now, this is a team that sits in third place in the Big Ten Conference. Getting hits is what they do. Jordan Zimmerman, 2-for-4 yesterday against U of M. It was a three-game set. Michigan State took two of those games. Yesterday's matchup was out in Ann Arbor. Jordan Zimmerman went 2-for-4. Dan Durkin, 3-for-4. Five different Spartans drove in runs. Are you kidding me? They play Nebraska at home starting this Saturday. In a three-game set after finals, of course, MSU baseball team is absolutely rolling. Also, the Detroit Tigers, folks, they have won 5 straight and 6 out of their last 7 games. Nick Castellanos was fantastic. He leads the AL in hitting right now. He had a 3-run homer to left field, which really proved to be the difference maker as that game went on between the Minnesota Twins and the Tigers. And how about Mike Pelfrey? He's a loser for me because Pelfrey is struggling. Really struggling right now, and I think the clock is really ticking on Pelfrey. Michael Fulmer, Matt Boyd, and Daniel Norris, guys, are looking to move up and possibly take his spot because he has not played great. The bullpen, though, was fantastic for the Tigers. Did not allow a run the entire weekend. Isaac, got anything?
Yeah, I've got the Dolphins for one, getting Laremy Tunsil. This guy, he was smoking pot and asking for money that he should be paid anyway for his contributions to the programs. Great pick, along with Leonte Carew. Remember that name, Rutgers receiver who tore apart MSU. Also, Arizona Cardinals, similar situation. Kem Dichie is going to be a beast. Reminds me of Tyrann Mathieu, different position.
And also, the San Antonio Spurs, they are on the best 5-game stretch in NBA playoff history. Remarkable. All right, folks, thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in. Today is Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. We'll be back at it tomorrow, same time, same place. Be easy, people.